We have a purpose in this church. That purpose says that we want to change lives. Say it with me if you know it. By meeting people where they are and moving them to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. If there were anything outside of the scripture itself that I would prefer that you memorize, it would be that statement. Because it is the focus, it is the mindset, it is the attitude with which we function, and the reasons with which we make decisions in this church. We want to change lives by meeting people where they are. Changed life is apparent whenever you come into the presence of an Almighty God. It happens automatically when you come into the presence of God Almighty. When Isaiah was in the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, it changed his life. When Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long and realized that he was actually wrestling with God, it changed his life. When Joshua went to the other side of the Jordan River and he prayed and he came into the presence of the angel of the Lord, it changed his life. When Moses saw the burning bush and he realized that he was suddenly talking to the Creator God of the universe, it changed his life. We want to change lives by meeting people where they are. By that I mean, if you're not a believer, we understand. We don't expect unbelievers to act like believers. But if you're a believer, we also understand, and we expect believers to act like it. And we want to meet you at the point where you are and take you one step at a time closer to the image of God's dear Son by moving you to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That purpose, nearly 3 years ago now, was adopted by this church. And the result of that purpose is starting to be felt in our midst today. Therefore, I am going to do something I almost never do. In fact, even when we have two services, I never do this. Used to preach on occasion in churches where we had two services, and some people would come to both services to see which sermon was better, because I preached completely different sermons both times. But I'm going to preach a sermon that I preached 2 years ago in May. At that time, it was looking forward to what we wanted to see God accomplish here at Grace Brethren Church. Now I want to preach it on the basis of looking back and seeing how He is working and the way in which He is working. We believe that we are to meet people where they are and move them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. You can bring that slide up. That overriding thought leads us to the vision that we have established in this church as a leadership and as a ministry. The first point of the vision is like the first base on a baseball diamond. We believe that lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. Now let me try to establish that biblically. Let's see. How about, for God so loved the world? You know that one? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But do you know the next verse? It says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent His Son out of love for us because we were like lost sheep. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38 show how Jesus sees us. It talked about him looking out over the multitudes and they were like sheep without a shepherd. God loved us so much that he sent his son to be our shepherd, to care for us, and to lead us into everlasting life. Now, if you're looking at a baseball diamond, here's how we kind of look at it. We see our first vision statement or value statement as a church as that of discovering the walk. If you don't know Jesus Christ, the first thing you have to do is learn how to walk. It's kind of like watching a child walk. Now, my children were unique. They sat around on all fours for, about 8 or 10 months. And then they were watching all the adults walking around the room, and they looked at each other and they said, "My, what an interesting peripatetic action that is." And they stood up and they began to walk. I'm sure most of your children did exactly the same thing. By the next day, they were running and everything was just fine. Isn't that how it works? No, it isn't, is it? A child decides to walk by first standing up, leaning on something, usually mom or dad or a piece of furniture, and taking a step. And then, you know, kind of faltering on that step and falling backwards. Had some of you scared, didn't I? God, just because you're in the front row, you thought I was going to land on you. Children learn how to walk one step at a time, don't they? And from then on, it becomes one step after one step after one step after one step, and the rest of their life, they're walking. And the ability with which they walk depends directly on how much they practice it. And it is exactly the way that we function in the Christian life. When somebody comes to know Jesus Christ, it is because they are discovering through baby steps what it means to become a believer in Jesus Christ. We call that spiritual birth in the new community of Christ. They become a new believer. When they've come to know Jesus Christ, they become a new believer. We have some goals that we've set out because of that. First goal is that we make a friend with a purpose. I use the term oikos here. It's a Greek word for house or household. And what we encourage you to do is to become part of the household of other people and for them to become part of your household. Making a friend with a purpose means this. You know you've made a friend with a purpose when they consider you a friend. Now, there's a lot of people out there that I might consider friends and may not consider me a friend, because I really haven't spent the time with them. I may have thought I spent the time with them, but they haven't spent the time with me to really be comfortable with me or to know me or to understand me. So they may say I'm an acquaintance, but I may not be a friend. How many unbelievers are out there that you have met and you think you're a friend, but they wouldn't consider you a friend? Our goals have been to make friends with purposes in order to teach them who Jesus Christ is. And secondly, to proclaim God's word to them in three ways. Number one, to invite them to church. And number two, to challenge them to accept Jesus Christ. And eventually, in the third way, by bringing them into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, God has worked in that way here. We do that in a number of ways. Number one, through our growth groups. Number two, through our counseling ministry. Number three, through just relationships that have happened. And you are not privy to all of this, though. Therefore, I'm sharing it with you today. That's part of what I want to do. I've been watching for the last several months so many people coming to know Jesus Christ. And you know what? We don't even have an evangelism program in this church. And yet God is blessing us with new believers. I know of people who have reached out to their neighbors and in the process they've come to know Jesus Christ. I know people who have come to growth group, and through the growth group they've accepted Jesus Christ. I know people whose lives were difficult and having problems, and through counseling they've come to know Jesus Christ. I can probably name to you at least 12 to 15 people since last April who have come to know Jesus Christ in one of those three avenues in our church. because we recognize that lost people matter to God, therefore they should matter to us. And if you're not building a relationship with a lost person, if you're not building a relationship with somebody who's never had the privilege of knowing Jesus Christ, you have missed the whole point of why you come here. Because if all it was for us to praise Him, He might as well just translate us to heaven right now. We're here to be a witness. We cannot get away from that. We cannot avoid the fact that God has put us here to be salt and light. I hope that what's happening in your life is that you are becoming salt and light. The second area in which we believe that we should have a value and that we should be able to function is in the area of spiritual growth. We believe that God's desire is that every believer reflect Him. Therefore, spiritual growth is God's command for every believer. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go to 1 Peter and turn right. Just kidding. It's almost at the end of the book. At the end of the book. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. In fact, start with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I hope if you have learned anything at this church, you have learned that the Word of God is sufficient. It is sufficient for any problem you're going through. It is sufficient for any deficiency in your life. It is sufficient for knowledge that you need in order to be a man or a woman of God. It is sufficient. Nothing else is needed in order for you to grow and understand what it is like or what it should be like to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, how do we grow? Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Your faith is that first saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing who He is and what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Add to that a virtue of life, that is, an authenticity about your life. It's the uniqueness of the spiritual walk. Add to your virtue knowledge and understanding of your life. Add to your knowledge self-control, the ability to be in control of your life through the Spirit of God. To the self-control, you add perseverance, understanding that this is not a short-term sprint. This is a long run. Add to your perseverance godliness, the reflection of your life. To your godliness, brotherly kindness, the result of your life. To your brotherly kindness, love, the goal of your life. Add to these things, in step, with diligence, with discipline, and if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we believe that God's desire is that every believer reflect Him. Therefore, spiritual growth is God's command for every believer. You see, what He's calling us to be is not somebody who just crosses the line, but somebody who is constantly moving to the center to be like Him. It's no longer right for us to live on the edge and to say, okay, we're going to live however we feel like, but at least we're on our way to heaven. God calls us to reflect the image of His dear Son, to be like Him. Now, we believe that that happens through a number of things. First of all, it happens through a development of certain biblical disciplines. We believe that you learn to become like Jesus Christ when you learn to study the Bible for yourself. You learn to become like Jesus Christ and reflect Him when you spend time in prayer. You learn to become like Jesus Christ when you learn to give out of a heart of worship rather than just out of a heart of obligation or because you need the tax break. You learn to give or you learn to become like Jesus Christ when you become a regular attender of ministry. May I say that that's one of the strongest reflections of your walk with Jesus Christ is your desire to be with the people of God in order to proclaim Him. You learn to be like Jesus Christ when you find out what your spiritual gift is and you start to use it in the body of Christ. You learn to be like Jesus Christ when discipleship becomes part of your life. We believe in discipleship here. We believe in it so much that what we want to do is we want to take people to the point of growing in Him through Bible studies and through adult Bible classes. We develop our worship services to be not something that is seeker-oriented, even though we want to be able to touch the lives of unbelievers. We develop our worship services to be something that reflects the person of Jesus Christ and shows the power of God unto salvation. We develop our adult Bible classes to be in-depth studies of the Word of God and to be introductory studies of the Word of God and to be everything in between so that anybody can get what they need to move closer to Jesus Christ and to be like Him. We develop Bible studies on Tuesday evenings and Thursday mornings and every other time of the week that we can think of. There's Bible studies that happen on Monday afternoons and Bible studies that happen at other times during the week that are designed to take you deeper into the Word of God, to make you dig into what the Word of God has to say so that your life will change. And if you understand that, you will avail yourself of those opportunities because that allows you to become more like the image of God's dear Son. We begin to reflect Him. We begin to be like Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything to the glory of God." The next step in the walk with Jesus Christ is the whole concept of developing a maturity in Him. We move from ministry, defining our walk and spiritual grounding, to spiritual growth and developing the walk. Developing our walk simply means this. God has designed every believer with a spiritual gift, therefore every believer has a ministry. You know, we have a silly idea at this church. We believe that if every believer does what God has called them to do, there will be no shortage of ministry in this church. We believe that if you do the things that God has called you to do and gifted you to do, then what's going to happen is everyone is going to minister with all the resources that this church has in such a way that this church will have no choice but to explode. It's been fun to watch people begin to grow in our church in the last year. It's been fun to watch people take on a new persona because they've found a spiritual gift and they've begun to use that gift for the glory of God. Look in the book of 1 Timothy, just back a few pages from 2 Peter, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 14 to 16. Says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed of yourself to the doctrine. Continue in them, for doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you." Paul is talking to Timothy, the pastor of the church of Ephesus here, and he's saying to him, don't neglect the gift that God has given you. Don't miss the fact that that gift is there for you to be used of Him. And God's work in your life will be evident to all. God has designed every believer with a spiritual gift. Therefore, every believer has a ministry. We call this developing the walk. It is the opportunity for spiritual growth in our life, and it leads to spiritual maturity. And here's the result of all of this. The result is that as we develop our spiritual gifts, we get involved in ministry, and we begin to demonstrate a recognizable faith. We demonstrate a faith that people look at and that becomes so different that they're compelled to ask why we've changed. I loved what Monica said at the communion. She said, you know, I came to this church and I kept coming to this church because I wanted to find out why all these people were so happy. That's not a bad testimony. As a matter of fact, that's a powerful testimony to someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Because what is it that the world is desiring? Happiness, peace, comfort, love. This is just an outgrowth of that. The fourth aspect of our ministry is that of duplicating the walk, spiritual reproduction. Value number four says this: the mature believer is Christ-like. Therefore, they will love and mentor others. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In another passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, just turn over there if you're still in 1 Timothy, just one or two pages over. These things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul again says it in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9, where he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and heard and received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, we believe in two types of discipleship, if you will. We believe in discipleship and we believe in mentoring. Let me try to tell you the difference between the two in my mind. Discipleship is that ministry like what Jesus had with his disciples. It's one-on-one or many. It's the opportunity to teach to them the Word of God and to inculcate into them the disciplines that show what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You become like the Master. You begin to talk like Him and walk like Him and act like Him and think like Him and respond like Him. That's discipleship. Mentoring, however, has this concept around it where you have a giftedness and you have an ability, and you're taking someone with the same like giftedness and ability, and you're teaching them to do the ministry that you do alongside them. You come alongside. Stu Weber, in his book Locking Arms, talks about being a ranger and training for being an Army Ranger. And he was in South Georgia, middle of July, and he's with his group, and they're out running in the middle of July in full uniform, full dress uniform, or full field uniform, full packs, M14 in the hand. And as they're running along, one of the things that happens is he notices that he just kind of gets into a zone and he just keeps going step by step by step by step, and they're just running for miles. Then he notices that one guy up in the front is coming out of step, that he's starting to falter a little bit. And he looks up and he realizes that his head's starting to wobble just a little bit. Some of you may remember being in those situations. And he realizes that Sanderson isn't going to make it. And so what he does is one of the guys next to him reaches over and takes his rifle, and now he's carrying two rifles while Sanderson is carrying no rifle, but the lighter load allows Sanderson to run and step. He does this because the sergeant said, you all come back together or you don't come back at all. You come back together or don't come back at all. And now, they're a few hundred yards down the road, and Sanderson starts to wobble again. And the two guys behind him reach up and they grab his 40-pound pack and they pull it off his back and they carry it between them, each man holding a strap. And Sanderson gets his strength back and he begins to run again and he starts to get back in focus and on step and he's running with the guys again. But he's just not going to make it. They still have miles to go and he's not going to make it. At the end, he starts to wobble some more. And this time, two other guys step up beside him and they lock arms, one on each side. And they run beside him, holding him up and lighten the weight of his own body so that he is able to run and finish it out with them. Why? Because when we lock arms together and when we learn from each other and when we understand what the Word of God has to say because we see the example in another and he's standing there and he's holding me up and he's carrying my weight with me and teaching me how to live right, we can reflect the person of Jesus Christ and we reproduce others to be like him. See, we're not a church that is only concerned with winning people to Jesus Christ. We are a church who wants not only to win people, but we want to bring them into a full maturity of who Jesus is, to reflect Him. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Therefore, we want to be duplicating our walk by looking for others who we can mentor and by looking for others that we can duplicate spiritual gifts in. The mature believer is Christ-like. Therefore, they will love and they will mentor others. Now, what's the point of all this? Well, for some of you, a little over 2 years ago, I shared all of this stuff, and it was a dream. It was an opportunity. Today, it's starting to come to fruition. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to make a little demonstration for you. If you have come to know Jesus Christ, or rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, as a result of the ministry of this church, and specifically the ministry of one or a few people in your life because they have loved you, I want you to stand up right now. Just do that. Would you please? Just stand. If those things have happened. What a reflection. Now, you can sit down. Now, if you're involved right now in a growth group that is helping you to grow and is helping you to be accountable to one another, would you stand? Just stand up if you're involved in a growth group. Not a bad number, is it? You know, these people make it an effort to be out on an evening of the week. And it must happen because there's something significant happening in their life. Thank you. You can be seated. We don't just do this because the pastor says you got to. We do it because it makes a difference. It changes our life. If in the process of growing through the counseling ministry, something has helped to change your life, either because you've been trained in counseling or because you are getting counseling and God is starting to work in your life, would you stand? Would you stand? I know that may seem intimidating, but I've seen so many lives changed because of that. What a blessing, huh? You can be seated. Now, here's the biggie. If you've come to this church in the last 12 months and become a part of this congregation, would you stand? If you're new in the last 12 months or so, just stand up if you're new. What a blessing. Isn't this what God is all about? Thank you. You can be seated. You see, we are here and we are going from here to be something different every day. It isn't that what people did before was wrong. It's just that what God has called us to do is to change lives by meeting people where they are and to move them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, I recognize that this has not necessarily been the most inspiring message that you could possibly want to hear, but I felt like you needed a year-end report to hear what God is doing. People are being won to Jesus Christ. People are growing in their faith because of the ministry of this church. And from here, here's where we're going. We plan to train young men for ministry. We plan to put young men in ministry because we are investing in their lives and we're teaching them how to become a fully devoted follower and minister of the gospel. We plan to win more people to Jesus Christ by expanding our oikos, our household of influence, by touching our neighbors and touching the people that we work with and touching the people that we dine with and that we buy our gas from and that we go to the dry cleaners for and all that. By touching their lives, we hope to reach them for Jesus Christ. We look forward in the next year to seeing more people come and be able to stand and say, yes, I've come to know Jesus Christ as a result of the ministry of this church. And not one of the people that stood as a new believer or a rededicated believer stood because of only one person or because of any specific evangelistic message. They stood because of the relationships that have been built by those in this church with them to teach them Jesus Christ. Don't miss the impact that you can have by being part of this team. I want to admonish you very carefully. We don't want to do this alone. We want to do it side by side with you. God has called us, and He has said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is it that God needs to have in your life in order for you to have this kind of an influence on a lost and dying world? Whatever it is, we need to give it up and begin to move forward with Him.